My dearly beloved in Christ, in today's gospel, we have our Lord praising St. John the Baptist. After the disciples of St. John the Baptist came to our Lord to ask him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And our Lord told them to go back and report to John the things that they had heard and seen, all the miracles that he worked. And after they left, our Lord began to praise St. John with very high words of praise. And coming from the mouth of the Son of God, certainly this is a very wonderful commendation of who St. John the Baptist was and how he lived and his virtue. These words of our Lord remind me of an old saying that we should not praise our Lord as our Lord waited until the disciples left. Reminds me of the saying, we should not praise someone to his face, nor dispraise him behind his back. If you praise someone in his presence a great deal, although this certainly not saying you may not compliment someone, but if we were to praise someone to a great degree before his face, it might be very embarrassing to the person. On the other hand, we should never speak of the faults of someone when he or she is not present. And that is a good way to avoid the faults of speech. We look at the words of our divine Lord and we see that he was always very measured, very precise in his speech. No wasted words. And a wonderful example for us to be very careful in our speech. Our Lord even said that we shall have to give an account for every idle word of which we speak. And so I would like to speak about the sins of the tongue, especially to define some of the terms that are used as a reminder to us to use this wonderful God-given gift of speech, to use it for God's honor and glory, for the praise and glory of God, and as we fulfill our duties, and to use it in charity, as we converse with our fellow men, but to avoid the pitfalls of the sins of the tongue, which are so easy to commit, unfortunately, and are also so very common. Now we look primarily to the eighth commandment, and we see the commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And of course, bearing false witness primarily pertains to the sin of lying. What is a lie? A lie is a falsehood that is told in which one knows that it is wrong. One knows it is not the truth, and he tells it for the purpose of deceiving another. Sometimes we say, well, that's a lie, when in fact it could be that the person was misinformed and has no intention of trying to deceive another, but simply was misinformed. So a lie is a terrible thing. It is using our gift of speech to say something we know to be wrong, and again, it is said with the intention of deceiving another. Now, this does not forbid what are referred to as evasive answers. And I should maybe take a minute to comment on that, because an evasive answer is not always permitted. Although we are never allowed to tell a lie, we are at times allowed and sometimes required to use evasive replies or to refuse to answer. There may be occasions when a person is asked about something which has been revealed to him in confidence, as for example, if he were a priest, a doctor, a lawyer, a close friend. There are also occasions when one is asked about some intimate matter in his own life or in the life of another which he would not wish to be known publicly or known by a certain person or group. There are occasions on which inquisitive busybodies ask questions concerning affairs about which they have no right to know. In all such and similar instances, one may refuse to answer or may deftly parry the question, for example, by asking, "Well, what would you think?" He may give an evasive answer which both avoids telling a lie and also avoids disclosing the information which one is in conscience or in honor or in prudence obliged to keep secret. So that is an evasive answer. Now, concerning veracity, excuse me, or truthfulness, there are several other sins against this wonderful virtue of truthfulness that we should understand and define. And those are the sins of hypocrisy, flattery, and boastfulness. Hypocrisy is a sin of false pretense. The hypocrite is a liar in word and in action. He is a person who feigns to be or tries to make others believe him to be better than he actually is, especially in the moral order. A hypocrite is a sinner posing as a saint. And we remember the very strong words of denunciation used by our Lord of the Pharisees who were hypocrites. And that's why he condemned them for their hypocrisy. What is the sin of flattery? Flattery is the dishonest, untruthful, and insincere praising of a person. Honest praise is a good thing, to compliment someone and so forth. But flattery and adulation are not good. To give praise where no praise is due, where praise is dishonest or excessive, where praise is even a lie and a contradiction of the truth, is wrong. And that is the sin of flattery. And of course, oftentimes individuals will use it in order to gain the favor of the one they are praising. And finally, boastfulness is a mixture of self-flattery, excessive pride, noisy self-advertising, and usually some hypocrisy. Boastfulness is an attempt to raise oneself in the opinion of others. Whether this is in keeping with the truth or, as more often happens, in contradiction to the truth, it is sinful. And of course, we all dislike someone who is boastful, always going around self-advertising and seeking praise and esteem of others. So just as we should avoid lying, falsehood, speaking falsehood, so we should avoid these other sins against truthfulness, hypocrisy, flattery, and boastfulness. Now let us go on to other sins of the tongue, which pertain to not so much sins against truth necessarily, but sins against our neighbor's reputation, his right to a good name. And first and foremost, there is the sin of calumny, also called slander. It is the same thing. Calumny or slander is speaking a falsehood, a lie, about another person in order to discredit that person. And of course, this very often is a serious sin, probably most of the time, a serious sin, to slander the good name of another. Now, another sin, which is also wrong and could even be serious, is telling the truth about another person, but to those who do not know the truth and have no right to know these certain facts or this certain information. And that is called the sin of detraction. And in either case, whether calumny or detraction, these sins destroy the good name of another person. And everyone has a right to his reputation. You can't buy a good reputation with money. Everyone comes into the world with, you might say, a clean slate. And we acquire our reputation by the way we live. But to destroy someone else's good reputation in the minds of some who before esteemed that individual, this is harming that person in a serious way. Now, just as someone who steals from another is bound to restore the stolen goods or the amount to the owner, so also someone who damages the good reputation of another is bound to repair that insofar as that's possible. And that is not very easy to do. One may say good things about that person, try to build up that person's reputation, or at least going to the one to whom you spoke and to say, I'm sorry I said such and such about so and so. I should not have done so. Please don't repeat it. And of course, especially if what is said is false, then that must be repaired. But even if it's true and was not known, then that is still wrong, and an effort must be made as far as is humanly possible to repair the good name of another. Another sin of the tongue, which really is a sin against the second commandment, is the sin of perjury. Perjury is always a mortal sin. That is the sin of telling a lie under oath. Someone is in a court, for example, or under oath, which is calling on God to witness the truth of what we say, and under oath, someone says something that he knows to be wrong, to be false. That would be the sin of perjury. Other sins against truth or against the eighth commandment, speaking half-truths. Let me read a little bit on this one. Falsification or coloring the news or printing only those facts which, although true, will cause a wrong impression or conclusion are very common today. So too is false and misleading advertising. It may be that you can add to this list other ways of violating the virtue of veracity. Vice has many forms, such varied disguises and subterfuges. So telling half-truths, like again, misleading advertising, someone who is selling a product and misleads the customer in as to the value or the effectiveness of that particular product. This could easily be a sin against truth. Also, another area in speech is criticizing. A word must be said about a matter which is often merely an evidence of a very subtle form of pride, and that is the habit of criticizing others. Frequently, it is an attempt to enhance one's own self, one's own reputation, at the expense of the reputation of others. It usually involves one or more of the sins that we have just mentioned. It is often a sin against charity in addition to being a sin against the eighth commandment. And of course, we all dislike someone who is always negative and always criticizing. And they'll always say, oh, this is just constructive criticism. And of course, there is such a thing as constructive criticism. But we have to be very careful of avoiding that negative outlook, which is always seeing faults and failings in others and always being critical. Another sin is that of rash judgment. And this is not really a sin of the tongue, but it's covered under the eighth commandment because it leads to sins of the tongue. And that is the sin of forming a judgment about another person, about the character of another, on insufficient evidence. When you don't have all the facts, but you jump to a conclusion and you believe something about someone else that is against or not to the credit of that person. And we have to be very careful of rash judgment because we all have a tendency to judge harshly of others. Sadly, a fact of human nature. So to withhold judgment. And obviously, if we have information, we cannot deny the evidence of our senses when we see someone do something wrong and so forth. But it has been said, when you cannot excuse the action, at least excuse the intention. Meaning we never know what's in a person's mind. And maybe that person, in God's eyes, is not as culpable for his or her actions as we might think. Also, keeping secrets, something we should cover in this regard in the Eighth Commandment, that there are times when confidences are made to us where we have a duty to keep it secret. And it's not only when a person says, please keep this confidential, or don't tell anyone, or I'm telling you a secret. But sometimes the sensitive nature of the information is such that we don't need to be told. We know I shouldn't tell anyone this. That's something I should keep to myself. And of course, we all know how hard that is to do. In fact, in the Book of Wisdom in the Old Testament, there is a statement, hast thou heard a word against thy brother? Let it die within thee. In other words, Don't tell it to someone else. We always like to tell it to just our best friend. And then, of course, it gets all over, goes to everyone. So keeping a secret. There are times when divulging a secret would be a sin against the confidential trust that that person has in you. In general, we have to learn to weigh our words carefully, to think about what we're going to say, and to decide whether or not it is worth saying, because we shall have to give an account for all the words of which we speak. One other sin against the Eighth Commandment that is little realized, perhaps, or thought of, is called the sin of talebearing. And talebearing is telling a person what someone else said about him or her. And it's easy to see how this can breed ill will, uncharitable thoughts, division, how it can destroy the beautiful union that should exist among the faithful. Telling other people, just because we know something, doesn't mean we should tell that person. So to go and say, well, so-and-so said this about you, just want you to know for your information, that can bring tremendous harm, and that is a sin against the Eighth Commandment. Now, while we are discussing these various sins, a word should also be said about the importance of protecting our own reputation. Just as someone who has wealth and just squanders it needlessly would be certainly guilty of a lack of virtue, of a vice, of wasting money, which could be harmful to those who are dependent upon this person. So also for us to not take care of our reputation would be wrong, because that would harm those we love, our own family, our own fellow parishioners, etc., for us to be heedless of our reputation. And we shouldn't say, well, in humility, I don't really care what people think about me, etc. Well, to some degree, there is truth in that. But we should also take care of our reputation, because that is a reputation that redounds upon Holy Mother Church. People know you're a Catholic. They know your faith. And so you should want to maintain and build up, by the way you live, a good reputation in the eyes of others. So as we reflect today upon this gospel, these words of our divine Lord, we are reminded to be careful in the use of our words. St. Francis de Sales said something which is a bit amusing. He said, we should imagine our mouths to be zippered shut. So by opening the zipper, we have time to think about what we're saying. So what does he mean by that? Don't just speak on impulse. Think about your words, weigh them carefully, so that you're not guilty of words that may be sinful that, again, you shall have to account for. So our Lord tells us we shall have to render an account for every idle word. Let us thank God for the wonderful gift of speech that he has given to us and use it to his honor and glory, and be careful not to abuse this wonderful gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.